Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jailers know that locks usually stay locked, but when Paul and Silas were sprung from prison, one jailer learned otherwise, causing him to ask, "What must I do to be saved?" Today, more on prison doors flinging open. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing a series on Light Shining in Darkness, How the Gospel Impacts Culture. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are tossed in jail after freeing a girl from a demon. Let's watch the light shine in a prison.
Why does the Bible say that we should not go to fortune tellers? Well, many of them are simply cranks. There's no doubt that there's a lot of shenanigans of predictions that any one of us could make if we had a little bit of practice. But there are some fortune tellers who actually have a spirit of divination, an evil spirit. And the devil knows the future better than we do, not infallibly. You know, after President Kennedy was assassinated, and I was in Dallas in 1963 when that happened, my first year at seminary there. After Kennedy was assassinated, there were those who came out in the newspapers and said, "We predicted the assassination." Well, you know, I need to tell you, it is so much easier to predict something after it's happened than before it happens, I think. You see, the devil can know that Lee Harvey Oswald is planning to assassinate the president. So he knows a lot more than any human being does. But he doesn't know infallibly that it will happen. The gun might jam. Maybe Lee Harvey Oswald would be caught as he's going up the stairs of the Dallas Bookroom Depository building. So the devil knows the future, but not infallibly. He knows only what human beings are planning. He doesn't know whether or not they'll pull them off. But a spirit of divination means that you can be right, probably 8 times out of 10. And this girl was making money for them. Paul didn't want to get involved, but he was agitated. And even though what she was saying was true, he couldn't take it anymore. And you never want to hear anything from spirits, even if they happen to be telling the truth. Paul says to this spirit, not the girl, but to the spirit, "Come out of her." And the spirit, in the name of Jesus, had to obey. Well, you'd think everybody'd be happy. I'm sure there were people there who said, "You know, we're seeing her smile for the first time." No, not so. You'll notice it says, verse 19, "But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And they had them brought to the magistrates, and they said, 'These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice.' The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off of them and gave them orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison," that's called maximum security, "and fastened their feet in the stocks." "You've taken away our means of gain." People who use other people's weakness and addictions to gain themselves, for gain of themselves, are evil people. You have it happening every day on the street corners of Chicago. Some street corners. Drugs are sold. Were there those who want to get you into the drug market and get you hooked so that you become a constant source of money for them? We see this in pornography. Hugh Hefner could never have his, quote, empire, as it is called, if it were not for the fact that there are millions of addicts, pornography addicts, that support him. It is built on the backs of addicts. And by the way, he wants your son, and he wants him very, very young so that he can depend on him for resources in the years to come. They're evil people who use other people's weaknesses for gain. Nobody seems to be happy that this girl is delivered. What we're going to do is to take these men and beat them, and it says that they complained that he was doing things that are unlawful. By the way, that's one way to shut the gospel down, is to make it unlawful. And it is happening here in society, in America. I heard recently that there was a policeman who had a Bible study in his home, and he was fined for having that because, after all, his home wasn't zoned for a church. You see, you can use all kinds of laws. Someday I'm going to give you a long one-hour lecture on the role of law in society. You can have all kinds of laws. The ACLU would like to criminalize all public expressions of Christianity in the so-called public square. It is unlawful for you to come here and preach the gospel. It is unlawful for you in the name of Jesus to deliver this girl. That's what they were saying. And then the Bible says they beat them with rods. Took off their clothes, beat them with rods. Rods are sticks. They were not metal as we have rods today. They were sticks, and what they would do is they would tie these sticks in a bundle. And then there were professional folks who were especially trained in how to beat someone up. And they beat Paul and Silas, not Luke and Timothy, because Paul and Silas were Jews. And they beat them up with rods. Now just think about that. Your back is lacerated. You've been hit in the legs. You're just literally writhing in pain, and they keep hitting you and hitting you and hitting you. And then they throw you into prison and put you in the innermost part of the prison. Well, I think if that happened to any of us, I think at that point we'd be discouraged. Paul and Silas began to curse. Is that what the Bible says? Well, if that's what your Bible says, you're reading today from the reversed vision. It's a bad translation. Verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. You know, the jailer put them in jail, and then he went for supper, intending to have a good night of sleep. Suddenly, the earthquake takes place, and the earthquake isn't the great miracle in this passage. It's the fact that these men were able to sing and give praise to God for what happened. And their hymns in the prison begin over there, and people can easily trace it. Where's the noise coming from? Where's the sound coming from? And lo and behold, it's Paul and Silas. Without clothes, beaten, cold, in pain, welts, they're singing. Wow. Well, the prisoner, the jailer, verse 27, he saw what had happened. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because in those days, if you didn't keep prisoners, it was your life. If you let them go, if it was because of negligence, he wants to kill himself. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" One of the most famous verses in all the Bible. I learned it when I suppose I was 5 years old. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household." If Lydia represents the tender heart, and if the slave girl represents the tormented heart, here you have a jailer who represents the tough heart. And God is going to show that he can use circumstances, He can use opposition to have his will done. I wonder how many of us believe that. When it comes to opposition, we don't want to know about it, and we complain about it. These apostles had the faith to believe that opposition could be used of God to accomplish his purpose because there was a jailer that needed to be converted. So the jailer believes, and his household. It says in verse 32, they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all were in his house, and he took him the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once and his family. I've known Christians who've been saved for 10 years and they've never been baptized. Could you learn from the jailer? He gets saved that night, probably knowing very little about theology. How do we know that he was saved, by the way? Immediately there was a heart change. Immediately he's saying, come in and I'm going to wash your wounds and I'm going to give you some supper. And then they explain to him that he should be identified with Jesus Christ in baptism. And they preach the word to all who are in the house. And everybody is saved. And everybody is baptized. Wow. Now, this verse has often been misinterpreted. You have, for example, the idea of household salvation, that if you as parents are saved, this means it's a guarantee that your children will be. No, 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 no. Notice that they preached the word to all who were in the house. And they all believed. That's the whole idea. It's also been misinterpreted because this is a great verse for those who believe in infant baptism. They say, see, the whole household was baptized. Surely there was a little baby there. Well, I don't know what Bible you're reading, but I don't see anything about babies here. I hear that they went and they preached the word to all who were in the house. I don't think they went over to the crib and preached the word to the baby and then baptized him. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I realize that there are many of you who are listening who perhaps were baptized as infants. Keep in mind that as long as you understand that that is not the means of salvation, that being baptized as an infant may have been part of your tradition, part of your religion, but in no way can it save you. So no matter what your background is, if you've been baptized either as an adult or as an infant, it is only through faith in Jesus Christ that we are saved. But as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. I hope that if you have never really believed on Christ, that you will do that, and that your faith will be in what he did through his death and resurrection. Thanks so much for joining us today, and I hope that you join us next time for Running to Win.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Light Shines in a Prison, the first message in a series on light shining in darkness. Next time on Running to Win, more on whether household salvation is taught in a famous verse in Acts chapter 16. Light Shining in Darkness, 8 messages on CD, can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.